Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here from studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, the longest or the shortest night of the year here in New Zealand. And obviously over in Ireland, where we'll be going in about 20 minutes to have a chat to former Irish and Lion international Nick Popplewell. It's the longest day of the year over there and set to be the warmest day of the year, with the mercury hitting about 28 degrees today. But there's a bit of rain as well, so that'll be good for the farmers. Rain and heat will make the grass grow. The programme is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I hope wherever you're listening tonight, if it's a Wednesday night here in Auckland, or if it's Saturday night down in Wellington and Christchurch, I think we're on, and Kapiti Coast the same time as the rugby will be on Saturday night. You might have an ear to the radio and an eye to the television watching the game. Welcome along, and welcome to people listening here and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz. And in about 10 minutes' time, we're going to have a chat and preview the first rugby test between the Lions and the All Blacks. And of course, it's all set for a big game, with the possibility team being announced in the morning that the Lions will be captained by Peter O'Mahony, Munster captain and one of the great stalwarts of Munster rugby, with as many as possibly five or six other Irish players in the starting lineup. But we'll talk more about that with Nick and his memories of touring here in 92 with Ireland, 93 with the Lions, in about 10-15 minutes time. But before that, we'll take a bit of music, and I think with the weather being nice and warm over there, let's, I think, hit off with a song here called Summer in Dublin. And this is Bagatelle, and it certainly is summer in Dublin at the moment.
Lead me to where I can be on my own. I wanted to see you, and now that I have, I just want to be left alone. I'll always remember your kind words, I'll still remember your name. And I've seen you changing and turning, and I know the things just won't be the same. And the Libyans, it stuck like hell. And the young people walking on Grafton Street, everyone looking so well. I sang a song I heard somewhere called Rock the Roll Never Forgets, when my humming was smothered by 46 days. I know.
Yes, well, the sun will be shining in Dublin today. 28 degrees promised for many parts of Leinster, and a great spell of warm weather. And with the warm weather, certain inevitability that accidents will happen. And I see a story in today's paper where a middle-aged man from Sligo, who was out kayaking with some friends on Monday night, he was in a kayak that capsized, and he wasn't able to ride it over, and he drowned. Ambulance people weren't able to rescue him. So lots of pictures in the paper of today of people sitting outside enjoying the sunshine, and sunscreen sales and ice cream sales are going through the roof. So certainly great time to be over there in Ireland at the moment. The longest day of the year today, and then on the 23rd, the eve of the Spancil Hill Fair, you've got the Feast of St. John, and of course over in the west of Ireland, a tradition of having bonfires on the eve of St. John's, and used to be good fun when we were growing up, and it's a tradition that's still carried on in many places along the western seaboard. Well, since we were on air last week, Leo Varadkar became the Prime Minister, Taoiseach of Ireland, and he's had a bit of a baptism of fire, because the last act by the outgoing Taoiseach and government was to make a few appointments, and one was to grant the wishes of Senior Minister Ross, who was always against cronyism and you know, a nod and a wink and stuff. Well, the police station, Garda station, and his constituents' step aside was reopened, or will be reopened. He's been petitioning for this for a long time. But the other more controversial appointment that possibly could have brought the government down was the appointment of the Attorney General, Mary Whelan, to the Supreme Court, or one of the highest courts in the land. And this was a decision made by the Cabinet en masse. And the Attorney General sits in on all cabinet discussions, and of course she was there when this appointment was discussed. And obviously, Fianna Fáil and opposition parties are saying, "Well, this is just a job for the boys or a job for the girl." And you know, there's been controversy over it, but legally, the government was right. The job was done under the outgoing Taoiseach, and some people say it was his way of giving that little pass to Leo Varadkar. While he did praise him in his outgoing speech, you know, some of the stories over the weekend said, you know, this was the, you know, the head left on the plate to him there, saying, "I might be gone, but we're going to leave you with a bit of controversy." So there's still talks that Fianna Fáil, some backbench Fianna Fáil TDs, said they're prepared to pull their support of the government and force a general election over this issue. But it looks like you know, they'll come to their senses. They're going to be on holidays in a few weeks' time, and they probably continue with their you know, agreement that they have for three budgets. The other news today is that the price has been set to sell off 25% share in Allied Irish Bank, and they hope that you know, when the bank is completely sold off by the government, it'll bring in around nearly 20 billion, which is roughly around what the government had to put into it to bail it out in 2008-2009. And there's pictures in quite a few of the papers today of Leo Varadkar, where he appointed all his junior ministers yesterday. But there's a picture here in front of the Irish Independent. I see one woman and 10 men, and he's been criticised for his lack of diversity in appointing junior ministers. There was only a couple of minor changes to the senior ministry. Obviously, Taoiseach Enda Kenny retired, and Michael Noonan stepped away from finance. So he didn't have a lot of big plum jobs there to reward the people that supported him. But his other contestant, Simon Coveney, he obviously bargained a job for himself, and he's got the plum job of Minister for Foreign Affairs, which will be a very big job considering the amount of work that has to be done as we deal with the Brexit. And negotiations between the DUP and the British government don't seem to be going too well either, you know, for they to sign up to a kind of an agreement to support the government. But more on that and more on other stories and all the sports news later, as well as an interview with Nick Popplewell, former Irish prop forward, who toured here in 92 with Ireland and 93 with the Lions. He was one of two Lions selected. I'm not sure whether there was a squad of 41. I doubt it. It was about 28 or 29 when Ireland toured here in 1993. The other forward that was selected, Galway from Shannon Club, and Richard Wallace. But we'll have a chat to Nick in about 10 minutes time. But before that, we have Sean Keane, and not, we've got Tommy Fleming, and he's singing all about hard times.
pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears, while we also sorrow with the poor. There's a song
Fleming there, and he's singing all about hard times. And welcome along if you've just tuned in. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, and our delayed broadcast going out on Access Radio Wellington, Wellington Capity Coast Radio, and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday night. Greetings to people listening to us on planetaudio.org.nz. I'll just quickly go back and look through some of the sports results from the weekend, and a huge weekend of sport, of course, down here. The Lions, led by Peter O'Mahony, beat the Maoris, and then they won last night against the Chiefs, beating the Chiefs with Rory Best. although Rory would have been very disappointed because the, most of the players that played last night, it's very unlikely they'll be featuring in the team being announced tomorrow morning. That's here locally in Auckland. But anyway, last weekend, results from football in the Connacht Championship. Roscommon had a big win, 2 goals and 23 points to 1 goal and 9 points over Leitrim. They'll play Galway now on the 9th of July. In the Leinster Championship, lots of games there. Last weekend, Kildare 2-16, Meath 13 points. This weekend, Dublin take on Westmeath, and Kildare will wait the winner of that match for the 16th of July Leinster final. The Munster Championship, no games last weekend. Kerry will play Cork on Sunday, the 2nd of July. Ulster Championship last weekend, Tyrone too strong for Donegal. Tyrone 121, Donegal 112. And the draw was made for the backdoor championships on and from memory, I'll check this later, but Donegal are drawn to play Longford at home, and Sligo Mayo are drawn to play Derry in Castlebar. So that'll be you know, a chance for Mayo to get back on the wagon again, so to speak. The Hurling Championship last weekend, Galway scored 33 points, beating Offaly, who scored 1 goal and 11 points, and they'll play Wexford now on the 2nd of July at Croke Park. That's the Leinster final. And the Munster final last, Munster semi-final last weekend, Cork too strong, 23 points to Waterford, 1 goal and 15 points. So Cork will play Clare, and that game will be played in Thurles because Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the revamped Páirc Uí Chaoimh, won't be ready for another few weeks. And then there was a whole series of qualifier games that took place last weekend as well, and I looked through some of the results that came through there. Derry too strong for Waterford, so Waterford finished for the year. Longford too strong for Laois, 2-15, 1-10. And Wicklow, they played, well, there must be a mistake here. Longford says here 2-15, Laois 1-11. That must have been Longford against Armagh. But anyway, no, mistake. And then Sligo too good for Antrim. And then in the other games that are coming up this weekend, Limerick are playing Wexford, Armagh, Fermanagh, London versus Carlow, and Offaly against Cavan. And Hurling Championship, the next game coming up is obviously the Leinster final on the 2nd of July, and Munster final a week later. So that's a run-up, rundown of the scores from the GAA Championship over there in Ireland last weekend. We'll take another piece of music, and then when we come back we'll have a chat to Nick Popplewell, former Irish international and Lions international, who toured here in 1993, now living in Wexford. And an article about Nick and his views on rugby recently in the Sunday Times Irish edition, and we'll talk to him about that, and what he thinks of the current state of rugby in Ireland. And he's will be talking to us from his office in Wexford, where I'm sure it's very warm over there this morning. But anyway, we'll take a bit of music. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Nice little few jigs and reels there. If you've tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of Auckland on a Wednesday night, and our delayed broadcast going out in Wellington, Christchurch, and the Capitol Coast on Saturday night. Programme brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group, and wherever you're listening, and if it's here or overseas on planetaudio.org.nz, welcome along. And as I mentioned at the start of the programme, we're previewing, looking ahead to the first test between the British and Irish Lions and the All Blacks, which takes place here at Eden Park. And a man that played at Eden Park in a few times for Ireland and the Lions is Nick Popplewell, who's living in Wexford. And I suppose we'd better do a weather check there this morning. I see the temperature is supposed to go up to 28 degrees in parts of Ireland today, where we always hear about the sunny southeast. So Wexford getting a good spell of weather at the moment, Nick?
Yeah, last week has been brilliant. Now, saying that, I was out for a run this morning and it was raining, but you know, it's supposed to be 22, 28 today, so looking forward to that. Not, because I'll be stuck in the car for most of the day.
Tell me, back to the current tour, have you been following it with interest from day one when the squad was picked?
I suppose the fact that the matches are on so bloody early on a Saturday makes it very difficult.
Yes.
And not difficult, it's easy to get up and watch them, but it's just, as I said, I work most Saturdays now and I'd work early, so I'm working through them, but I'll certainly be, you know, test matches. You know, the first match I'm going to sit down and watch would be this Saturday, so I'm looking forward to that. I think he's announcing the squad tonight, so.
Yes, 7 o'clock in the morning here, which will be 8 o'clock tonight, your time. Do you expect, you know, a good selection of Irish men to be there?
Well, it's hard to know, because everything is suspect in Gatland will have a few things up his sleeve. I'd like to think Tighe will be there. O'Mahony, will he be captain? I don't know what's happening there with
Warburton.
Yeah, it seems to be strange. Like, he kind of was a waste of a man bringing him out if he hasn't done. He's had no input into the tour, you know. I suppose
Sean O'Brien.
Jesus, certainly if he doesn't start, he'll be there at some point, because, you know, yes, he's carrying injuries, he's not 100%, but Jesus, once he hits the park, he's 110% committed, you know.
And then in the backs, we've got, obviously, Murray is a shoe-in, you know.
Yeah, well, I think Murray and Sexton, now, I don't know. Is Farrell injured? I mean, we're getting snippets here that he strained a cruciate or something, so...
Well, the reports that I've seen today is that he's fit, according to the latest report out of the camp, is he's fit, and that he might be picked at 10 with Sexton probably on the bench, because he'll put Teo in there in the centre. One guy that I thought was really going to shine, well, two in particular, you know, of the Irish 11, was Henshaw and Stander. Now, Stander, I'd say, after his performance last night, will probably get on the bench, but poor old Robbie Henshaw, who was a star when the All Blacks were beaten Chicago, he doesn't seem to have got going on this tour to date.
No, well, and that's the beauty of a tour. Like, if it's been transparent, that, you know, you don't have time for how people played a couple of months ago. It's literally, you have one shot at it, and whoever's on form should get the spot. That's it, full stop. Life is quite simple, because they have to win the first test. If they don't win the first test, the series is gone, full stop. You know, so this match is so, so important.
Cast your eyes back. I think the first time you toured here was Ireland 92. Ireland hadn't been here from 76, but you came down here in 92 and had a big tour. What were your memories of that tour?
Memories were, obviously, Jesus, we had a rubbish enough squad, but we did well in the first test. I mean, we should only have ever had one test anyway.
Yes,
ridiculous.
Dunedin, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Vinnie Cunningham scored 3 tries, and all of a sudden we were kind of thinking, shit, what's happening in the script? And eventually then the Blacks came back, but no, we were very respectable, and then we got hosed in the final two. But again, you know, an Irish team at that stage, you know, a 3 or 4 match tour was more than sufficient, because, you know, every match is a test match when you're in New Zealand. It's the intensity is great, you know.
Well, I travelled to the game in Hamilton last night with Harry Ray, who was capped twice for Ireland in the 60s, and he was telling us about the times that he played. He would come down to Dublin from Belfast. Well, actually, he came from Edinburgh on a Thursday night. They had a drink or went to a movie. They had a bit of a run around on Friday, played on Saturday. Was that the preparation when you started playing for Ireland back in the 90s?
Preparation was, we would have played an ordinary, whatever match we were playing on a Saturday. We then would have met on a Sunday for a training session and a scrummaging session. would have gone home then back on a Wednesday for more scrummaging, and then we would have been in camp from the Wednesday to play a match on a Saturday. So Wednesday, that was Thursday, Friday, so you would have trained on Thursday reasonably well, Friday very light run around, Saturday match, and then bugger off on a Sunday morning.
Did you have to, I see these guys that have come down here this year, the reports are that the payment for being selected in that 41 party, £70,000, a bonus of 15 if they win, and about £10,000 worth of gear, everything that they wanted. What was it like in 93 when you were selected? It must be an honour, obviously, to be selected. You were one of two Irishmen that were selected when the team was announced, yourself and Mick Dolway.
Money certainly wasn't any kind of an element in it. I think whatever money you made it by selling signed balls and doing photographs. So, I mean, I suppose if we made a grand a pop, that was about it.
For the tour,
yeah. But there was no golden handshake or anything. It was just... But I don't think the game would have been professional at that stage, as far as... No,
it wasn't. Definitely not. Yeah. It was 95, 96 when the money came into it. But your memories of that tour in 93, travelling around New Zealand, obviously, All Blacks were still very strong.
Yeah, no, everything's tough. The press are tough. Like, everyone's against you. Yeah, so what? I mean, that's the beauty of playing over there. You know, the only way to shut the supporters up is literally perform on the pitch. And I suppose, you know, we started poorly enough. We got beaten by the first and second test, then kind of came alive 1-1 and with the last one to go. But no, it's a very beautiful country, but it's you know, it's certainly no holiday when you're over there.
No, it's not. And obviously, huge contingent here of fans. And you know, there's expecting upwards of 20,000 people to be here. Well, there've been some here for the last few weeks, but there's certainly huge number of fans there and everybody wearing the red jerseys. And, you know, this game at the weekend. So, like, from a... Obviously, all these players are professional. They're all, you know, like thoroughbred racehorses. So you got the man Gatland calling the tunes, like, you know. So what can a coach do in the last few days before a big test to try to, you know, give the team that bit of an X factor? Or is it too late to start making any changes at this stage?
What can he do? I suppose he's doing his best to protect them from the media, for a start, making sure, you know, they do rest. You know, they need to be... It's all basic stuff now. They're all hooked into computers now to see, are they hydrated enough? I suppose mindset-wise, you know, test match against New Zealand, many of the players wouldn't have beat New Zealand, so to be representing the Lions, that's the optimum. I suppose we used to always say it's like being in the Olympics, really. You know, Lions is a Lions test spot. Yes, you know, the midweek matches are great, but when you break it down, 40-odd players, you know, being brought over from, you know, a squad of maybe 80 players, you know, it's not the most difficult thing in the world once you're playing for your country to get picked for the Lions, but getting picked on the test starting side, you know, that's what it's all about. He'll just be, you know, you'd like to think you'd be trying to control the... I suppose the testosterone and keeping lads, you know, on the ground. But I mean, they're doing this. They're professionals now, so they're well able to get into their own zones, you know.
Like when you were picked and you go off in your room and with the guys from different countries that you're beating the hell out of, you know, when you're playing for Ireland in the Five Nations as it was then. Like, does it take a while for these, you know, friendships to develop, Nick? And did you make friends during that tour in 93 with guys that you'd still love to catch up and have a pint with?
Yeah, no, I think that's the beauty of rugby. You'll always know, you know, one of the big things about a Lions team is you're picking a squad of players that are going to get on for the 8 or 9 weeks or 7 or 8 weeks. You know, there's a few of the English players who didn't get picked were whinging and saying this and that, and I think the fact that they weren't brought over and they're whinging, and, you know, you can see that's why they weren't brought over. Like, you know, it's very easy for one bad apple to disrupt, you know, the 40-yard players and the situation that's over there. I mean, grand, you can have the most skilled players in the world playing a match, but they have to be playing together. They have to be willing to basically putting their neck on the block for your teammate. I suppose the Lions thing, everyone knows each other. They're playing week in, week out against clubs, you know, Leinster playing against whatever, Cardiff or whatever, you know. So they know each other, and they go, you know, before the Lions, they would have been meeting up 3 or 4 weeks beforehand. So the bonding, I suppose, has been starting for the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I suppose picking roommates and, you know, that in itself, there'll be thought process going into that, making sure that, you know, there's going to be no friction, you know. I mean, obviously, yeah, when I was over there, I was against Jason Leonard. We were both going for the loose head spot, and I must say, I didn't talk to Jason until I had the loose head spot on the test side.
Right.
You know, you are competitive over there. I mean, on the training park, the matches or the squads aren't picked just by how you perform on a Saturday. They're picked on how you behave yourself, how you're integrating, you know, and certainly your performance and attitude on the training park. You know, that's... You let down. I mean, I suppose the difference between players is minuscule, a lot of them. And, you know, if you can get an advantage, that's it. That's, you know, life. That's, you're going to take it, you know.
But as we said, this is the first test is the one for the Lions, isn't it? Because if the All Blacks are vulnerable, this is when...
Yeah. But if you don't, I think history speaks for itself. I think if you lose the first test, you've lost the series. You know, you need the momentum of that first test.
And do you remember in 93, before you came down, did the likes of Willie John McBride and some of the great players, the Gibsons, the people that played in 71, did they come into your camp or anything and talk about New Zealand? Or did you, you know, do things the way your coach wants to do things in your own way?
I suppose the likes of McGeechan would have been aware of, you know, what you do and what you don't do. I think, to be honest with you, looking back on it now, it just... Everything goes by so fast. You arrive in the country and you're just, you know, you're doing so many meet and greets. You're doing, you know, you're basically hitting the park. I think you have a match within 3 or 4 days. So you've really no time at all. And I suppose the one thing, the hardest thing to do with the likes of Gatland is literally saying no to people. You know, and again, if you were cynical, you'd be saying, you know, you have the touring side over there and you have everyone trying to just bring as many of them as possible to as many bun fights as possible, and you could say to meet and greet, or you could say to try and tire them out and feed them with fatty foods and all that, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's I think it gets to the stage that you'll get the Wednesday sides, you know, the Wednesday and Saturday sides start, I'm sure they've started now, they start dividing, so the Wednesday sides will do the meet and greets on the Thursday and Fridays before matches, and then the Saturday sides will do them, say, on the Monday and Tuesday, you know, so it's...
Yeah, I must say, I was in Hamilton last night, and, you know, at half-time I went for a bit of a walk around under the stands, and there was Conor Murray in his tracksuit. He was out having a walk around on his own and meeting and talking to people, which is great. And there is a lot of Irish people, as you know, living here, working in Christchurch as a result of the earthquake, and especially Auckland, which is booming. So it's great for us down here to see a good selection of Irish players.
Yeah,
these days, yourself, Nick, you're not very involved in rugby. You're not coaching a club side or anything like that.
I coach a kid side. My young fella plays under 15, so I've been coaching him since under 13s, 14s, 15s. So I'll do 16s next year. I just don't have the time for it. Nor, you know, would I like to coach a senior side, or I wouldn't have the patience for it, or the expertise now. You know, I think that's something you have to keep up with when you stop playing, and I wouldn't have the interest in it, to be honest.
But like the rest of us, you must have been delighted to see how, you know, Irish rugby has come on in the last 5 or 6 years, and I suppose from an Irish point of view, beating the All Blacks at Chicago last year and lucky not to win the test in Dublin 2 weeks later was a great shot in the arm for you know, the way rugby's going in Ireland.
No, super. Yeah, I think since I retired, when did I play in the 90s, which was the most unsuccessful period in Irish rugby, and as soon as I retired, they've hardly lost a match since. So I think there might be a correlation there somewhere. It's great to see it. You know, I think, in fairness, the RFU, they've managed the thing very well. They've kept the players together. I mean, we're basically running four teams, and we're able to restrict the amount of matches our players are playing. So, you know, it's working well, and it's great. You know, I suppose the players are playing good matches week in and week out. You know, not like years ago when, you know, you're back to your club and you were playing crap, really, when you think of it, you know what I mean? It was just...
You played with Greystones, if I remember, Johnny Malone. Who was the fullback that played with the Irish
team? Johnny Murphy.
Johnny Murphy, that's right, yeah. Derek McGrath, I think. Was he another Greystone?
No, he wasn't. I mean, Tony Doyle, scrum half, Johnny Murphy. We would have had Tony Ward for
Tony
a while,
Ward,
Brian
right.
Rigney, John Murphy. You know, we had a lot of... a good team, in fairness. Good team.
I know. Different eras. I remember when I started working in Dublin with your wife, Rachel, in the Ulster Bank. I remember going to Lansdowne Road and, went to my first test match in 1980, and how rugby has come on since then. But so just before, do you give the Lions, would you say 50-50 going into this game? Or down here a few weeks ago after the Barbarians game, the Lions are written off. Everybody says 70-30. In favour of the All Blacks, but it's coming back to 55-45, and I'd say it's even, Stephen.
50-50. I'd say, so much on the Lions to win this match. I think they'll do it, because it's really a shit or bust time. If they don't do it, you may pack your bags and go home, you know.
Well, Nick, great to talk to you, and enjoy fine weather, and good luck. So when you're auctioneering, are you selling houses, land, the whole shooting gallery? Yeah,
that's it. We're not proud, and whatever we can charge somebody a fee for, we'll do it.
And the Irish economy is picking up well. It is again. I see AIB is going to be floated off, or part of it, today, and you've got a new leader of the country there, an openly gay man. It's good. Ireland is certainly hitting the headlines around the world.
But again, we have Brexit coming around the corner, so that's the big question mark. We don't know how that's... we don't know what effect that's going to have, because I think sterling, we do an awful lot of business with the English buyer coming over here, and sterling is weakening at the moment, which means they're... buying power is less than what it was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. So, it's all a lot of, it's out of our control, but it's still, as I said, it doesn't help our situation, So you just want to get it over and done with. And obviously the recent elections don't help.
No, exactly. And
they actually weakened the position for the UK. So, it's going to be a tough battle.
Challenging times ahead. Well, Nick, thanks very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Pleasure.
And I've got memories of seeing you playing down here, and with Ireland and the Lions. And let's hope that the Lions, have success this weekend. And what a final two tests that would make.
Yeah, and let's hope no one gets injured. And listen, best team wins.
Good man, Nick. God bless. Take care. Bye now. That was Nick Popplewell there, talking to us live from his office in Wexford. And here is Sean Keane and Home Away From Home.
I didn't sleep at all last night. I stayed up till the dawn, banging out the jigs and reels till everyone had gone, singing some old shut-eyed songs I hadn't sung for years, knocking back the brandy and the beer. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, or it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I had one bag too many just as I was set to leave. I was loaded down with bacon and with sausages and tea, and I couldn't find my ticket as I'm walking out the door, till I emptied all my bags out on the floor. Back across the ocean to my home away from home, I'm glad to be returning but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time, but it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I sipped a drink while waiting for the meal, just trying not to let my head know how my stomach feels. There's a baby right behind me, making sure that I won't sleep, and the tide's to find another sea. Back across the ocean to my home away from home,
I'm glad to be returning, but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time. But it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. I fell asleep at last just as the plane is touching down, and I 18 years when waiting for the bags to come around. And I make it home at last, and I'm barely unpacked when I'm already making plans to go again. Back across the ocean to my home away from home. I'm glad to be returning, but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time. But it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye. Back across the ocean to my home away from home. I'm glad to be returning, but sad to have to go. I'd like to find a way to be two places at one time. But it's easy going back again, but it's hard to say goodbye.
Yes, Sean Cain there, and Home Away From Home, which is what I hope this programme does for you each week, bring you back to Ireland for at least an hour anyways, and give you an update on the news and sports news. And it was great to be able to have a chat to Nick Popplewell, former Irish and Lions international, and talk to him about his memories of touring here in 92 with Ireland and 93 with the Lions. As he said, rugby was a bit different in Ireland when he was playing, and you know, certainly the whole rugby scene in Ireland is much more professional now, and of course it is in New Zealand as well. I remember when I did my first rugby magazine for the Lions in 93, I was very down in the rugby union in Wellington. I went down and told them I had plans to do a magazine to promote the Lions, and there was about four people working in the rugby union office in Wellington at that stage. I think there's a cast of thousands down there now. But nice to see George from time to time when I travel to Wellington. And we have good memories of our meeting together, and he's telling me they didn't have any money, but they had a few sponsors. And anyway, that was the start of the first of Rugby Magazine that I've been publishing since every year, and do two now, of course, one for the All Blacks and the other one for the Super Rugby, which will get underway when the Lions Tour finishes with one round of games to go. And then you've got the playoffs, and looking good for the definitely four New Zealand teams, even though the Chiefs didn't do that well last night against the Lions because of, you know, their obviously a lot of their players had played for the Maoris at the weekend and in the line or the All Black squad for this weekend. Well, I'm looking through some of the headlines and some of the papers here today, and there's a sad story in quite a few of the papers written to a young boy from Castletroy in Limerick who just did his last Leaving Cert exam last week, biology, and he fell ill on Thursday and died on Friday. And he was from Castletroy College pupil Luke O'Brien, only 18, and tributes have been paid to him from people all over the country. The Garda Commissioner, she was in front of the Public Accounts Committee again yesterday for many hours discussing the running of the Garda training depot down there in Templemore. There was there's issues over bank accounts and money going here and money going there, but certainly quite a bit of discussion going on there about the way that was run. But of course she's only saying that she's taken over from somebody else, and you know, some of the issues, things that went on that they're looking into there have been going on since the 80s. Rocket Man blasts off to another galaxy at Marquee. What's this? This is a big, actually can read the Examiner now, which is a very good paper. You can read it online, and it's got huge coverage, but this is talking about Elton John played at the Marquee in Cork last night, and obviously huge crowds there, and being summer, there's lots of concerts on throughout the place, and Robbie Williams was played there recently. He played at the O2, I think, or 3 arena at the weekend, and he raised money. Garda received over 30 million since 2010 to police events, and obviously they're talking there about some of these pop stars when they come, the Garda get paid to protect them. And lots of pictures of children in the water and people having a good time with the sunshine that's been, shining down in Ireland over the last few days. Long may it continue. All right, we'll take another bit of music and then come back and wrap up the programme for another week. And up next, we're going to Dirty Old Town and the Pogues.
Met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town. Clouds are drifting across the moon. Cats are prowling on their beat. Springs a girl from the streets at night. Dirty old town, dirty old town. Night on fire. I smell the spring on the smoky wind. Dirty old town, dirty old town. I'm gonna make me a picture box. Shining steel like an old Dutch train. Dirty old town, dirty old town. I met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town, dirty old town.
Yes, the unmistakable sound there of Shane McGann and Dirty Old Town. And we're coming up to the end of another edition of Ireland Calling, which is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And I hope wherever you're listening tonight, you're enjoying the programme. Just to recap again, the weather from the front page of the Irish Times: very warm and humid in most parts today, with highs of 22 to 28 degrees. If you're heading to Ireland over the next few months and you'd like to see Riverdance, I see they're having it's on, running at the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin until the 3rd of September. So obviously a show that still is very, very popular, especially for people that are visiting Ireland. And as I said, there's lots of music, lots of entertainment, lots of shows on there over the coming weeks. So if you're heading to Ireland, and make sure that you take in the opportunity to maybe go and see a show, especially when you're in Dublin, and lots of stuff happening, other festivals throughout the country as well. Okay, so thank you again for tuning in tonight. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme. Good luck to both teams. As Nick said, he hopes that it's a great game on Saturday night here at Eden Park, which is just a stone's throw from where I'm broadcasting here. And let's hope that it's a great sporting occasion, unlike the first test in 2005, when Brian O'Driscoll was taken out in the first few minutes. And we know what happened after that. It kind of really affected the whole tour. So let's hope nothing like that. And let's hope that Peter O'Mahony is named as captain tomorrow morning, and that he and all the other Irish guys have a great game. Good luck to both teams, and thank you for tuning in. I'll be back here next Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.